Good morning, everyone.
Man, it's so good to be in here today. This is Together Sunday. What's that mean? It means we're together.
We're all.
Well, does it mean anything else? Well, it means like all the kids, you know, the teens, the college students, are in with the rest of the old people.
Well, who are the old people?
I don't know. I heard like 35 or above or something like that. Hi, Dr. Matt.
Good morning, Priscilla. Hey, Skip, how are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're doing great. It's good to be here in the service. And, you know, our last big gig, you know, was VBS, and we have the kids in here today, and it's good to be together.
Yeah, I didn't see much jumping on the pews this morning.
No, it's kind of hard for old people to do that.
Good point. Yeah, more knee replacements.
They fall and break stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, you seem like you're in a really good mood this morning.
Well, I am.
Why is that?
Well, I need to ask you something.
Oh, sure. Anything.
What is an infection?
Oh.
An infection?
Yeah,
an infection is like when you're sick. It's when a disease gets into you.
Like a disease?
Yeah. Like when you're sick, you know?
Well, I better stay away from Ben in my class at school then.
Oh, why is that?
Well, I just can't understand that guy.
Well, tell me more. What's going on?
Well, he forgot his lunch, you know, earlier this week.
Mm-hmm. I didn't forget mine all week.
Well, good. I'm happy for you. Well, I shared mine with him.
That was very nice of you.
Well, yeah, I thought it was really nice and kind of saintly, too. But when we were leaving, he looked at me kind of funny.
I always look at you funny.
Not Joe. He looked at me in a different kind of funny, and he said he had a great infection for me.
Oh, Priscilla, he misspoke, actually, because he probably didn't mean to say he had an infection for you. I think what he meant to say was he had affection for you.
Well, infection, affection, what's affection mean?
Affection is like, it's like love.
Love! Oh,
Ben loves Priscilla, Ben loves,
stop it!
Wait, what's wrong with love?
Oh, man, all that kissing and hugging and all that stuff.
Oh, no. It's not, it's not that. That's only part of love. Love is much more than that.
Oh, well, okay, what do you mean?
Well, for example, like love, the best example I can give you is God's love for us.
Okay, you mean like God loves us and then we can love others without having to kiss and hug them?
I never kiss and hug you.
Yeah, good. I'm glad you know.
Right. So instead of, it's not just kissing and hugging. It's being nice, caring for one another, being kind to one another. Yeah, so think about it. Remember in the Bible in John 3:16?
In the New Testament.
Yes.
I learned that in Bible school.
Good.
There's an Old Testament that's for the old people and a New Testament for the young people.
Right, not exactly.
Exactly what it is.
Right. We young people can read both. Old people should know both by heart.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, in the New Testament, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, that means die, but will have everlasting life." So, God loved the people on earth enough to send his only son, Jesus, to us.
Whoa.
So that he could take the blame for all the bad stuff that we think and feel and say and do. And if you think about that, God must have had so much love in his heart for us to do that.
Wow, that's really some kind of love. I think I'm getting it. Like, love is when, the kind of love we're talking about, is when you care for someone else more than you do yourself.
Exactly.
Well, now I understand, you know, what the Bible's trying to tell me. And I'm going to start reading the Old Testament, too, now.
Okay. You're allowed to.
Hey, all right. Thanks, Dr. Matt, for bringing clarity to my life.
Always happy to help.
Who talks like that?
I do. Well, I think Pastor Howie's going to come out and preach the word to us today.
Yeah, he's going to really lay it on us, I think.
All right. Excellent. See you guys later.
That's kind of a hard act to follow there. I'm sure most of you are aware of session. You speak quietly and reverently when you session. I grew up thinking of them as the board and how bored I would be if I was on that board. But session has major responsibilities in the church. They have a lot of them. Maybe the most important one is oversight of the spiritual life of the church. But session members also do other things on our campus and in our community that you might not be aware of that I was really impressed with when I discovered. I just happened to have my camera with me when I saw two session members doing something I just never anticipated them to be involved in. Let's put up our first picture here. This is Tim Olson. This is Tim risking his life for you and for me. This is Tim cutting a tree down so the tree doesn't fall on us and kill us. This is really true. This is Tim up in this cherry picker thing, or I just call it the crane of death. Because if you fall out of that, it's really going to hurt. But he's up there trimming trees on our campus, and you've probably seen them on the west side. And I thought, wow, you know, there's a guy in our church doing something way beyond the call of duty. And Tim's right here in the front row, and, you know, and I don't want to embarrass him or anything, but maybe you should clap for him, you know. And just come up to him today and say, Tim, thank you for doing something that potentially saved my life. And then we have another session member. This is Diane Briggs, who after this service, I used to be married to. I just happened to have my camera and caught her out in the community cleaning up somebody's pool. Now, who would have thought that was a ministry she would be involved in? But again, another session member out there just serving God with their talents in ways we just never thought. So when you see Diane today, don't tell her I did any of this with her. Just having a little fun with session. Today is Together Sunday, and that's when we have, you know, the kids and the teens and, like Puppet said, the old people all together. So I thought I'd do something a little different. I entitled this Three Stories. And I'll confess to you that the focus is going to be on more toward the young, but I got a feeling it's going to be meaningful for just about everybody. But everyone likes a good story, right? Yes. Please, because that's what I'm doing, a story. I mean, come on, give me a break here. You know, there were these two boys, and they lived near this mountainous region, and there were a lot of caves up in these mountains. And they decided one day that they were going to go explore some of those caves. And you can see a picture up here. We'll put the picture up, okay? And they had a backpack, and they put their hiking shoes in there, and they started out in their cross-training shoes because it was easier. And when they got up into the mountains, they decided to put their hiking boots on and start going inside these caves. And it was fun. They were, what's in here, what's in there? And they went in this cave, and they had their flashlights. They were way back in it, and they saw footprints on the ground. And the boys looked at each other and said, are those footprints what I think they are? Yeah, I think so. I think a bear's been in this cave. Well, what about if it's still in here? Well, let's find out. No! Come on, let's see if the bear's in here. So they go back further into the cave, and they're shining their flashlight, and then they see it. The biggest black bear they've ever seen laying down in the cave. And their eyes get real big, the flashlight shining on the bear. And the bear opens one eye. And the boys look at each other, and they didn't have to say anything. They just turned around and started running. And as they're running out of the cave, one of the boys stops and puts his backpack down and starts taking off his hiking shoes and putting them in the backpack and his other friends. What are you doing? We don't have time for you to put on your cross-training shoes. A bear's going to come out here and probably eat us. I don't even know if we can outrun it at all. Guy says, I don't need to outrun the bear. I just need to outrun you. Do you ever feel like you've had friends that treat you this way? Friends. We know Jesus did, right? Garden of Gethsemane, when he really needed support from his friends, what are they doing? They're sleeping somewhere. And then some other of his friends even denied that they ever knew him. Yeah, some of the closest friends Jesus ever had weren't there for him. And I know today for many of our students, and I say many because I think we all go through it at times, you get up each morning, you're going to school, and you're not looking forward to it because you don't really have any good friends there. Maybe you're in ninth grade, you're just starting high school, and you haven't really made any new friends. You can be around hundreds and hundreds of people and still feel lonely. But it's not limited to just our kids. I think all of us in this room at some time have felt abandoned by our friends. And that's not a good feeling. But one of the great things about having Christ in our life is knowing that he will never leave us or forsake us, from Matthew 28 and Hebrews 13. So I say to you today, when you're feeling lonely and your friends are not there for you, please know that God loves you and he never abandons you. He never forsakes you. He's with you through his Spirit all the time. Amen? There was a little girl who was vacationing with her family. We can put up the next picture. Does this remind you of vacations you've been on? Yeah, she was vacationing with her family, and they were driving along. They had the windows rolled down, nice cool breeze coming through the car. And all of a sudden, a big black and yellow bee comes in, starts flying around the inside of the car. Now, that's distracting for most of us when that happens. But in this particular case, the little girl was allergic to bee stings. And there's many people allergic to bee stings. Anybody here allergic to a bee sting? Raise your hand so we can run from you when there's bees. Sure, it's not uncommon. There's a lot of people that are allergic to bee stings. And she started screaming in the back seat, there's a bee in here, Dad! There's a bee! It's going to kill me! Oh, no! And the dad starts reaching around, trying to get the bee out the window, and the bee finally flies up into the front windshield in front of his steering wheel, and she's crying, she's screaming, she doesn't want to get stung, and he takes his hand and he pushes it up against the bee, and he holds the bee up against the windshield, and he waits. And the little girl's looking at him, do you have him, Daddy? Do you have him? She said, oh, I have him. And then he felt it. He was waiting for it. He knew it was coming. The sting. He wasn't going to let go of that bee until he felt the sting, because he knew when the bee stung him that his daughter would be safe, that the bee could not sting her. Jesus says, you want to know how much I love you? Look at the wounds on my hand. The little girl said, thank you, Daddy. And he let go of the bee, and the bee still flew around, but it wasn't going to sting her anymore. The stinger was pulled out. And like most little kids, she said, Daddy, can I see the stinger stuck in your hand? Sure. And he shows her the stinger. Oh, thanks, Daddy. Anytime. Anytime. How much do I love you? This is how much I love you, Jesus says. And he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. Our scripture today, our scripture passage from Luke 17, 11 through 19. I love telling stories out of God's word and then imagining a backstory, if you will. So I'm going to tell this story with a backstory that could have been. This is a story about a young man whose name the Bible does not tell us. So we're going to give him a name. We're going to call him Hiram. Hiram and a friend were overlooking the little village where they lived, and his friend looks over at him and says, hey, Hiram, what's that spot on your hand? And Hiram, yeah, he says, it came up recently. I don't know what it is. Oh, okay. And as the days went on, more of these spots started showing up, and his friend started saying, hey, aren't you getting more of those, Hiram? Yeah, I don't know, they don't seem to be going away. Now, every week, Hiram went to temple, or he went to the church. And one day, the priest or the pastor saw him and said, Hiram, come here a minute. Yes, sir. Let me see your hand. Hiram held out his hand. And the priest had seen this many times before. He said, Hiram, I've got some bad news for you. Bad news? What bad news? Well, these lesions on your hand, these spots, it's the first stages of leprosy. Leprosy? No, that can't be. Yeah, I've seen it many times, Hiram. Oh no. What am I going to tell my parents? What about my friends? Am I going to have to leave the village? Yeah. It's contagious. Can you imagine? He goes home and he shows his folks, and they recognize it too. And they prepare some bedding for him. He can't stay in the house. It's too dangerous. He can infect others. Highly contagious disease back in those days. We don't have it in the world much now. We certainly don't have it here. It's nothing any kids need to be worried about. You kids, don't worry about getting leprosy. But back in these days, it was a very serious thing. They pack bedding for him, and Hiram has to leave. He's about 14, 15 years old. Where is he going to go? And then he remembers he played up in the hills too. And there were caves up in those hills. And he remembered playing up there and having people crying out to him, stay away, unclean, don't come near us. Hey, you kids, don't come near us. We have leprosy. And he'd heard that playing up in the hills, but never thought he'd be in this situation. But he knew where he could go. And so you can imagine, he has all his things together, he has some food, and he leaves his home. Can you imagine what it'd be like if you had to leave your home, leave your parents, leave your brothers and sisters? Well, you might not mind leaving your brother or your sister. But off he goes. And he goes up into the hillside. And he hears the voices crying out again, don't come near us. Don't come near us, we have leprosy. Don't worry about it, I have leprosy also. Oh, okay, come here. So he walks up there and he sees these people outside these caves, and he's shocked because these people, many of them, don't have fingers. They've been decayed away by the disease, or their face is been compromised and looks all scarred up. They don't have toes. There's open wounds on their body. And he's repulsed by the, oh my gosh, is this what's going to happen to me? Hey, kid, what are you doing here? I have leprosy, see? Oh, man. I'm really sorry. You can be here with us if you want. I mean, we're not going to catch it, right? We already got it. Okay. And they make a place for him up there where he can stay with them. At least he's with somebody. As the days and weeks went on, his leprosy got worse. And he was becoming more and more like the other people up there. He'd ask his friend, "How you doing today, Joseph?" "Oh, not too bad. Lost my thumb this morning, but that's okay." "Oh, I lost the thumb? Yeah, fell right off." "Oh, man, did it hurt?" No. One of the things about leprosy, you see, you don't feel pain. Zach was over by the fire the other night. His toe was in the fire. He didn't even know it. "What? His toe was in the fire?" "Yeah, he was in the fire and he didn't even feel it." "Oh, man. That's terrible." "Yeah, now his foot's all burned. But he doesn't feel it." Nothing good happening up there. Well, Hiram had gone to temple. He had gone to church. He'd heard about God. And eventually he got around to saying, "God, is there any way you can heal me?" And he prayed that. Nothing happened. And one day, one of the people with leprosy came by. He said, "Listen, have you ever heard of a guy named Jesus?" "Jesus. Seems like I've heard of him. See the guy like traveling around saying he's the Son of God and stuff?" "Yeah, it's that one." "Well, I heard he's going to be down going through our village on his way to Jerusalem. And 8 guys and me and the 9 of us, and we're going to go down there and meet him." "Why are you going to meet him?" "Well, because we've heard he's healed people." "Really?" "Yeah. Do you want to come with us?" And Hiram said, sure, I'll come with you." "When's he going to be there?" "Sometime tomorrow morning." So all that night, Hiram's laying down on his blanket. And you know what it's like the night before Christmas? You don't really sleep, right? You know, you're anticipating the next day. I remember as a little kid, hearing things going on, not, you know, kind of hoping things were happening and all excited about the next day. That was Hiram's night. He didn't sleep well that night. He kept thinking, I know Jesus says he's the Son of God, but I don't know. But I'll try anything. I'm desperate. I'll try anything. He finally falls asleep, and then the next morning he feels the heat of the sun on his face, and he wakes up and he's like, "Oh no, have I slept in? Have I missed it?" And he gets up, and as he gets up, another wound opens up on his leg. He has so many bandages wrapped around his legs and around his arms, he looks like the mummy. But then all his friends look like the mummy up there. They're all in rough shape. Every move he makes, some sore opens up. And he's in pain, and he's hurting. And he comes outside the cave, and he thinks he's missed it. But then he sees the 9 others. "Hey, am I too late?" And they're down at the foot of the hill, and, "No, come on down, we're going now." So Hiram steps out, and he starts going down the hill, and he trips and falls. Rolls down the hill, all the way down the hill. And his friends start laughing at him. "Well, that's a quick way to get here." And on the way down, he opens up some more wounds and breaks something else. And it's just the way of life. And he gets up, barely. And those 10 people with leprosy start heading for the village. They don't know what Jesus looks like. None of them had met him. But they were just going to keep their eye on the crowd, and maybe they'd see him. As they are outside the village, now they can't go in the village. They're not allowed in the village. They're outside the village. They see the dust kicking up on the road in the distance, and they know someone's coming. And it's more than just one person. It looks like a few people. And they're looking at each other. Could that be this Jesus guy? Could be. And as they come closer, they're standing there, and one of them calls out, "Jesus, is that you?" "Yes, that's me." And his friends say, Jesus, hey, look, these guys have leprosy here. I can tell from here. Don't get too close to them. Come to me. Jesus, don't, they have leprosy. Don't get close. Come on, come to me. What are you doing, Jesus? I want them to come to me. Well, Jesus, do you mind if we step back a little bit from you while you're having these people come to you? Do what you have to do, but I want them to come to me. Okay. So Jesus' faithful friends back away as the 10 come toward him. And Jesus says to them, "Why are you here? What can I do for you?" Are you Jesus, right? "I'm Jesus." "And you're the Son of God, right?" "I am who I am." "Do you heal people?" "If it'll bring glory to the Father." "Could, look, can you heal us?" And they wait for the words they want to hear, but they're not sure they're going to hear them. Here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to turn around, move as fast as you can, run if you can. Yes, I don't have a foot. I said run it the best you can. Yes, I'm missing both my feet. Crawl. Whatever you can do, turn and start going toward the village. But are you going to heal us? You hear what I'm saying? Are you making fun of us? We can hardly move. Can you trust me? Turn. Go in toward the village. Now, his friends are back there. Friends. What's Jesus doing? That's like mean Jesus. We thought Jesus was kind and generous. This seems to be like mean Jesus. He's mocking and making fun of him, making the guy with no feet crawl. I mean, what's that? You going to stay a disciple? I don't know after this. I don't know if I used to trust him, but now I don't. And as they turn to walk away, Hiram looks at his arm. And an open wound on his arm closes. Wounds are closing and healing. Fingers come back. Whoa! The guy with no feet. Feet. Every wound that these 10 had as a result of leprosy is healed as they're moving toward the city and obeying what Jesus asked them to do. They're being healed as they move, and they're jumping up and down, and they're screaming, and they're crying. And Hiram stops, and he turns around, and he comes running back. "Thank you. Thank you. Look at me. I am healed. And I know that only God could do something like this. You must be who you say you are. Thank you, Jesus." How many of there were you? 10? And you're the only one that came back? Yeah. Where are you from? Samaria? Ah, a Samaritan. You know I'm Jewish. Yeah. I know you're Jewish. God loves you, Hiram. People have their quarrels and they think differently about religion here, the Jews, Samaritans, and I know that. I know what that's about. But I came for everyone. No one's excluded from God's love. No one's excluded from God's grace and mercy. You remember that. I'll remember that. Now, go to the temple and tell the priest what's happened. I can only imagine what that conversation was like. And I can only imagine what it was like when he went home healed. And his parents and his siblings saw him. And he got to tell the story of Jesus, who loved him and healed him. We all have wounds. Some of them are visible. And I'm not talking about gaping open wounds, although there could be that. Sometimes we can just look on someone's face and see the pain, the sorrow, whatever that wound is. You know, I am the compassionate care pastor. That's because I'm the most compassionate. That's probably what Session talks about. Let's evaluate the pastoral staff. Who's the most compassionate? As you leave here today, please know that you have a God who never leaves you or forsakes you, and who's there for you even when everyone else bleeds off to the side. We're going to share communion together as a body, and Bethy's going to come and lead us in that. Thank you.